Welcome back again to BadQuaker.com podcast. Today is Thursday, December 29th, 2011. This is Ben. Today's podcast will be with me, with Kai and myself, and got to get the English right. And also, later on in the podcast, you'll hear John joins us. John has been with us on the podcast before, and we were fortunate enough that he dropped by the Bad Quaker podcast. The Bad Quaker compound, close to the end of our podcast, so we just invited him to join us. Now, the reason that we have sort of a different introduction here is because, as you're about to hear, much like our podcast yesterday, nothing went the way we had planned. And so, you know, we just let it run, and we're just we had a lot of fun, and hopefully you will enjoy hearing the mayhem and the chaos. And so here you go. This is Bad Quaker Podcast number 74 with Ben and Kai and special guest John. Okay, so the headline is Obama to ask for debt limit hike, Treasury official. Wait, that's not a... Obama to ask debt limit hike, Treasury official. How is that supposed to be read?
That is supposed to say a Treasury official said that Obama is going to ask for a debt limit hike.
So they're trying to indicate that they're quoting
a Treasury official.
A Treasury official without actually indicating
that they're quoting it.
Who this secret person is that they're getting their story from.
Mm-hmm.
Way to go, Rutgers. Rutgers. Anyway. So they... Is that baggy?
Snapped over herself. She was in the toilet bowl.
Poor cat. See, here's what happened.
She was in here.
Yeah. She fell in the toilet. Stupid cat.
Oh, poor thing.
Poor baggy. Poor baggy's wet. But a wet cat. Oh, she is. Poor girl.
Okay, Nikki, calm down.
Her little paws wet.
No.
She's soaked.
Poor baby. Right into the toilet bowl.
Okay, so that's a fun way to start a podcast. The cat was in the bathroom, tried to climb up where the towels are stored, and fell in the toilet. This is going to be a fun podcast.
Yeah. And we have Nikki squeaking.
And the dog has a squeaky toy. We have a cat in a toilet and a dog with a squeaky toy.
I see you, Nikki. Okay.
This is going to be the chaos podcast. Oh, man. Okay, so... Folks, sorry, we have a dog with a squeaky toy. Get used to it.
The cat should be occupied for the rest of the podcast licking her paws, though.
Yeah. All right, so I don't see anything funny in this report about the president. Oh, here's what I was going to say. It says the White House plans to ask Congress by the end of the week for an increase in the government's debt ceiling to allow the U.S. to pay its bills on time. And then it says that the approval is expected to go through without a challenge.
Of course.
Way to go, Tea Party. You guys really made a change in government, didn't you?
What's a couple more billion dollars? I mean, really.
I have heard...
Trillion.
Trillion.
What's a trillion dollars?
I've heard it made the argument made on TV, and I've actually seen real live human beings on posting on forums saying that the Tea Party may not have accomplished all of its goals, but they permanently changed government. How? What?
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. It's intentionally... you know, what do you call it when somebody is naive by choice? What is that called?
I don't know. I mean... The facts are the facts that we have been on this road towards where we are going since before the ink was dry on the Constitution, and there's been nothing that has deterred us from this path.
Mm-hmm. It's just been just sliding right on towards that cliff.
Yeah.
So there was a melee. We're now using the word melee.
Melee.
Yes, evidently a bunch of Vikings ran in with axes. There was a melee at the Mall of America. And the abuse of the English language by the people. These people have college degrees in English language.
Mm-hmm.
I hope. I hope. Anyway.
Yeah, well, that's another discussion.
Yeah. And yet,
the use of college degrees.
9 arrested after brawl at Mall of America. They have to use fists flew. It says, fists flew, and so did a few chairs during a large scale brawl at the Mall of America. Who's doing this one? Oh, this is a local. This is the local NBC affiliate, KARE11.
Oh, they care.
They care. When we were in Missouri, one of the television channels in southern Missouri is Kohler, K-O-L-O-R or something like K-O-L-R or something like that. And so you pronounce it as like color.
Mm-hmm.
Like so the whatever their number was, like this one is Care 11, that was like Color 12 or whatever,
mm-hmm.
whatever the channel. And I thought, you know, in 1965, that was probably a really cool name to have your TV station, Color 12 or whatever, you know. But that's because they had color.
Right.
And now nobody doesn't have color. So for you to continue calling yourself Color 12 or whatever kind of loses its impact.
Not so impressive anymore.
Anyway, so we have this fists flew at the Mall of America. Evidently, there were drinks thrown on the floor and chairs being thrown everywhere, says a witness. You know,
it says 9 arrested. 9 people? Really? 9? I've seen bigger brawls than that at Denny's.
At one point, 30 officers were involved. That's probably about proportion. It would probably take 30 officers, considering how cops are getting nowadays.
Right.
Where it takes 20 to do anything. Every car. You see, even here, we have particularly good cops in this area where we live. And yet, it's becoming routine that if the cops pull over somebody, anybody, for anything at all, that they pull them over for, except if they already have an established speed trap,
mm-hmm.
then a cop can do that by himself. But if the cops pull over anybody on the street for any reason whatsoever here in this town, they always respond with 2 to 3 other vehicles. It's like a big event that, you know, and I don't mean to belittle them. Like I said, that we have pretty good cops here in Springboro. And, you know, I've spent enough time talking to them and things like that, that they're pretty good guys. And when they come down the street way too fast, I talk to them about that, you know. But they're pretty good. It's a pretty good police force, you know, that we have here. And a lot of times you have that with small towns.
Mm-hmm.
But still, there's...
Not overtly evil.
Yeah. But still, there's this mentality that's developing that says that if one cop is needed, you respond with 20.
Mm-hmm.
And the police mentality that's supporting that says, well, yeah, but things are getting more dangerous, so we have to respond like that.
Which is actually the exact opposite of the truth, because in reality, crime rates are going down every year.
Well, there was actually, Cop Block did a report on this. I believe it was CNN that reported that violence against cops
mm-hmm.
was increasing. And I think it was Cop Block that did the debunking of that and
mm-hmm.
showed that, no, actually what's happening is more people are charged with resisting arrest when resisting arrest can just mean, no, you can't look at my cell phone.
Right.
And now that's resisting arrest.
Right.
Or just to say no to a cop is now resisting arrest. So, in fact, there is not more violence against cops. It's just that we're reclassifying what we're calling violence against cops.
I love
but
that.
This is a self-perpetuating thing, because it will bring more violence to
cops.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
love that cycle.
Part.
You know, when you reclassify things
mm-hmm.
and then say, oh, look, there's more of them.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. I won't get into it, because it will make a lot of people really angry if I do. But
you're
going to
go
certain...
on climate...
No, well, no, I wasn't. I wasn't actually going to go on climate change. I would take on the climaters in a heartbeat. I don't care. I don't care. I'll do it. But no, I was specifically pointing towards the autism fanatics.
Yeah.
But
well, that's a very unfortunate group because
it is.
Because children that really have autism, it's devastating mm-hmm. to a family. And there are levels of autism where a person can struggle at different levels with mm-hmm. it. But like what
but,
you're referring
but when,
to there.
When the DSM-3, the diagnostic statistic manual or something like that, I don't remember exactly what it's referred to as.
Mm-hmm.
But when the third version of that came out, it had autism at a specific definition, and then it had other diseases that were classified as different diseases.
Yeah.
And then when I believe it was 4 or 4.5 came out, they clumped all of those together as autism spectrum disorder. And now all of a sudden you didn't have more people being diagnosed with, well, you didn't have more people having it.
Yeah.
You had more diagnoses of it
mm-hmm.
because it was now this new, suddenly it fit that classification.
Yeah.
And
now
so
all the numbers are skewed.
Yeah. And so there's so now there are these huge amounts of people who mm-hmm. are making tons of money off these poor parents who
are trying to do the right thing.
Who are desperate to make sure that their kids can do any, you know, they want so badly mm-hmm. for there to be a reason mm-hmm. why their kids are like this. And I'm not saying there's not a reason.
Yeah.
But the problem comes about in that they are taking these numbers and they're skewing them. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden you have these, well, you know, one in whatever, 100, 1 in 10, 1 in... I don't know the numbers.
Yeah, they're crazy
numbers. They're ridiculously high numbers mm-hmm. and they're saying, you know, oh, 1 in 100 kids has autism. No, 1 in 100 kids falls somewhere on the autism spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be anywhere from wouldn't know it functions perfectly in society
mm-hmm. all the way down to...
completely needs help 100% of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really cruel
that
they have done this to mm-hmm. these kids. Because they've labeled these kids now.
It's money motivated, too.
You can't escape from this autism diagnosis now.
Yeah.
You know? You can no longer be judged based on your merits.
Yeah.
You are now autistic.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's you're the autistic kid now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? You probably have every chance of living. Yeah, it'll be hard for you,
mm-hmm.
but you could live a perfectly normal life, have a perfectly normal job, and be successful. But you can't because you're labeled this label now. And all they want to do is send you to all of these therapists, mm-hmm. and they want you to take these drugs, and they, you know, they've roped you into the system.
Yep. Everything you do now will have that notation
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, and that's how we got to Mall of America from.
Anyway, like I said, I'm sure that's going to make a ton of people really mad at me.
Well, I hope not, because it's really not saying anything bad against the person who's diagnosed with autism, and it's not saying anything bad against the parents who are trying to do the right thing. It's the process of government interference working with individuals in the medical community who are making money off of this mm-hmm. in order to get certain classifications so that they can get better funding, so that they can get more money for their particular treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And all this boils back to manipulate using the government and tax money to manipulate reality.
Yeah.
And rather than, you know, having... Well, I was reading a thing where... in certain cases of AIDS are being diagnosed like this too,
mm-hmm.
to pump up the AIDS numbers. And so that when you actually look and see using one method of testing for AIDS, the numbers are very low, but then using this other method for testing for AIDS, pretty much anybody can fit
right.
into this category. So, you know, then we need more government funding.
Right.
Because look at these scary numbers. Look mm-hmm. how many people have this.
Yep.
And I'm not saying AIDS is not a serious thing. I will say it's funny that, not funny, that's a bad choice of words, but it's an interesting note that a few years ago, the AIDS epidemic fear was driving a lot of activity. And now we don't have the fear because none of those predictions took place. Mm-hmm. You know, now one of the things they can say, well, it's because we took action when we did. Yeah, but that's
kind of negative.
Yeah, that's backwards thinking. The fact is that none of those predictions took place. They didn't accomplish the kind of funding they were saying we had to have. Mm-hmm. And that stuff didn't take place anyway. Mm-hmm. We still don't have people dropping dead of AIDS everywhere around us. And the ones that have it, it's tragic.
Right.
I have sympathy for anyone with such a tragic diagnosis. But still.
Well, and, you know, not to sound like a tinfoil hatter or anything, but AIDS is really a great way to point and say, see, this is what government funding does.
Yeah.
Because, like it or not, AIDS really came directly out of government-funded research.
Yeah, the latest. I mean,
you're not going to really hear about this a lot, mm-hmm. because nobody wants to come out and say, hey, guess what? We caused AIDS.
Yeah. Well, the latest story that we're being told, first, you know, we were told, well, somehow it made this jump from chimpanzees to humans. Mm-hmm. But as the story actually comes out, there were government funded, specifically from the French government, but other governments funded as well, two competing scientists who had two competing methods of trying to fight, what was the other, was it smallpox, not smallpox?
Ebola?
No, I'm thinking maybe smallpox.
Was it smallpox?
What do people get, what are the common illnesses that they give injections for? Well, now everything.
Right, now.
But anyway, one of the things that they were working in Africa.
Or was it tuberculosis?
No, it wasn't TB.
No.
But one of the things that they were working in Africa to try to give injections to the people in Africa so that they wouldn't get this illness, mm-hmm. and it was government funded to do that. But in the process, they needed, I think it was the livers of a particular type of monkey, mm-hmm. that didn't live in that part of Africa.
Right.
And so rather than getting the proper livers from monkeys that you know are clean, they were just harvesting local chimpanzees, which are not monkeys.
Right.
They're apes.
Right.
And so they were paying the villagers to bring them chimpanzees. And then they would keep the chimpanzee. It's a horrible film. They would literally grab the chimpanzee. One researcher would grab the chimpanzee's arms and pull him up to the cage and hold him. Well, another researcher would shove a needle into the chimpanzee's liver and withdraw some of the, or inject, whether they were, because mm-hmm. they would infect the chimp and then let him, his body fight the illness, and then they would withdraw out of the chimp's liver the
antibodies.
Yeah. And then they would take that and go inject the villagers. And in doing this, because AIDS was common in those chimpanzees, they were literally injecting the villagers with chimpanzee AIDS, mm-hmm. which then after it was injected into humans made the leap. Hey, John.
Hello.
If you feel like it, come and join the fray.
Are you guys recording?
Yeah. So John has joined us.
Hello.
And Nikki is going crazy over it because Nikki loves John. That's the flopping sound that you hear, is Nikki just spazzing out completely.
Nikki loves anyone she knows. And she knows you if you've walked in the house.
So we're randomly ranting about things that have absolutely no connection with each other. Like we're just talking about
usual.
Yeah, yeah, normal, like normal usual podcast. We were just talking about Did you hear about the melee at the Mall of America?
No, I didn't.
I without doing the whole thing, I was just making fun of the terminology because. The headline is there was a melee at the Mall of America. So
they had maces and
yeah,
swords.
Yeah, exactly. War battle hatch, battle axes. There were Vikings running in. Body parts were hacked.
Well,
that's what a melee is.
They were so. Well, you know, it is a mall. Those Capital One Vikings were probably there.
Oh, that's what. Now we understand. Yeah. See, we don't need to read the story. If you got a, if you have a good headline, you can figure this out. So evidently, those Vikings were at the Mall of America and actually went
with the goat berserk
with that goat, and they literally went berserk and had a melee.
Did they decimate the mall?
I'll bet they did.
So they wiped out a tenth of it.
Yes.
A tenth. Decimate. We butcher the English language so bad. Well, the media, let's blame it on the media.
The English language, I mean, it's not really a proper language. It's, what is the quote? It sneaks up behind other languages and
clubs it over the head.
It doesn't borrow from other languages.
It is, we do kind of, that's the thing about, at least in America, we kind of make the language up as we go along, you know. It can mean what we have presidents making up words ex nihilo right there on camera, you know. Well, not so much this president, but the last one would.
I had a friend one time tell me, literally, when she was taking German, that she liked the German language because it had a lot of English words in it.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
I believe it. I believe it.
Whoever our listener is in Poland will laugh at that, I guarantee. Oh, man.
Speaking of Poland and headlines, I was about to get all defensive on the side of the Polish people.
Oh, yeah.
Because Craig Daniels, I think it was Craig Daniels.
Is that the guy that played James Bond?
Yeah.
Daniel Craig.
Yeah, there he is.
Daniel Craig. So the headline on Politico, it says, Daniel Craig, : Poles are, and then a profanity. And is he British or is he Australian?
I think he's Australian.
So that's slang, but I immediately was like, hey, Polish people, you can't say that. That's racist. And as it turns out, he's talking about politicians. And I'm like, oh, well, you can't argue with that.
Yeah, I guess he's right. I would have worded it different, but you can't argue with his point. It is strange. I'll try to make his point in a radio friendly term. It's an odd thing that we take some of the dumbest and some of the most dishonest people in society and we elect them as our leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And the longer they're there, the worse they get. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking of the one person who asked if we got too many soldiers on the island.
Tip over.
Yeah, if the island would tip over.
Okay, well, and then there's the infamous, you know, it's not like a dump truck. It's like a series of tubes.
The internet is like a series of tubes. And I like the part he says, they sent me an internet on Friday, and I didn't get it until Monday. And he's talking about email.
Right.
But he called that an internet. They sent me the internet. And it's because the people were downloading movies in his mind. Mm-hmm. Because people were downloading movies, he didn't get his internet until Monday.
and these are the people legislating the internet.
Yeah, he was on the committee that was attempting to legislate the internet.
Right.
And, yeah, that...
It's amazing.
That makes sense.
There's quite a few people out there like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I frequently have to ask some of my customers at work to provide email addresses for the vendors that we're using.
Mm-hmm.
And they, on a regular basis, send me web addresses rather than email addresses.
Well, that's like you were talking about the Straits of...
Oh, Straits of Hormuz.
Yeah, in Iran.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, it's like the Chesapeake Bay or like the...
Puget Sound.
And I was like...
Words.
Nobody knows where those are at. You're talking to people who can't point out Washington State on a map.
Yeah. How can they find...
Much less Iran. You know? Honestly, take a map of the world that is labeled... Okay, so Iran is labeled, it says Iran, and take your average Joe off the street, they can't point to Iran.
I think it's Jay Leno that does those things with man-on-the-street type things. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much of that's set up. Have you ever seen him do those?
I've seen it, yes.
I don't know how much that's set up or how much it's honest, but it's comedic, it's funny, but it's
so
terrifying
sad.
Too. Yeah.
And yet people have the audacity to say, if you homeschool, how can you homeschool when you don't, you know, you're not going to be able to teach them everything they know.
When I graduated high school, even before that, but when I graduated high school, I could name all 50 states and their capitals.
Yeah.
When my daughter graduated high school about 18 years later, she couldn't even name the 6 New England states.
Wow.
where we lived.
Yeah.
Let alone, you know, the capitals.
Yeah.
I could never do the states, but I learned all of the countries in North America.
Yeah.
I did that.
When I was in school, we, and of course, you know, that's when Abe Lincoln was...
Right. And you were chipping things out on stone tablets and getting brontosaurus ribs on the way home.
Yeah, and you little, the foot, we moved our cars by wiggling our feet. But anyway, one of the things that we liked to do, just for entertainment, was with our history teacher, he had one of those maps with the multiple pull-downs, so mm-hmm. that one overlaid the other, and they were, you know, different.
They're so cool.
Yeah, and they're, you know, they're clear. And so we would pull down the world map and pull down the overlay that put the country lines but didn't have
the
names. And I think that's probably why somebody invented that kind of a map to begin with. And then we would challenge the teacher. We would point to countries and challenge the teacher to what countries those were and try to find a country that the teacher didn't know the name of.
You know what we did in history class? We watched
Gone with the Wind
to tell us how the Civil War was.
Just like that.
Just like that. It's a documentary.
And why not? I mean, 300 was just like the Battle of Thermopylae.
Right? Oh,
we talked about that like a week ago or something like that. I can't even let myself look at that because... And I appreciate if people who like comics or they like comic books and they like, you know, that kind of thing, and that's in their taste.
I enjoyed the movie immensely, but mm-hmm. I would never, ever, confuse it with historical document.
I didn't like it because going in, I didn't realize it was an adaptation of a comic book, and I was like, awesome, you know, this is an awesome historical battle. I love this story. And I go in and I'm like, what? What is, and who is... And where? But oh, I'm done. And then I was like, oh, it's a comic book. It's not a very good one then.
But I wonder now, you know, because of all the years and the different schools that I went to, I think I changed schools something like 16 different times because we moved a lot. And and of all the years that I went to school and all the different schools that I went to, that was really the one teacher that stood out. Of having that level of intelligence that you could mm-hmm. quiz him on his topic mm-hmm. to that level. And you know, most teachers that in my years, if you were to start quizzing them on that level
they'd
on their
angry.
Topic, yeah, they'd get mad at you. Mm-hmm. But with that particular teacher, it was fun and very educating for all of us.
Well, John and I, we went to the... planetarium. We've gone to several planetariums now,
mm-hmm.
and they have these maps of the world
mm-hmm.
That
satellite
are
images,
like at night.
Maps.
Yeah,
yeah. But.
They have the satellite pictures of the world at night, and you can see the bright spots where there are
cities.
And we love to go up there and okay, which one's that city and which
yeah,
one's
we were
that
picking
city?
Out the cities just based on the light patterns mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. where they were.
Yeah.
And that one's Miami, that's Fort Lauderdale,
that's
one's
Chicago, New York.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you can't get that in a curriculum.
No.
You know, you can't that doesn't come from a book that says, okay, now have all the children come to the front of the room.
Yeah.
You know? That can't be it's a spontaneous thing.
And that's fun learning.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's when you're standing there, but I can get more than you, and mm-hmm. that's fun. When you have a worksheet
mm-hmm.
where you have a word bank and mm-hmm. you have to fill in which ones and nobody's allowed to talk, and that breeds a hatred of learning.
Right. We were challenging one another to figure out what points of light were what cities,
yes.
mm-hmm. and it was fun.
Mm-hmm. And it's deductive reasoning, too, because you can say... Well, wait. No, this one's this city. Mm-hmm. So that makes this one this city.
Yeah.
And if those are that, then this has got to be, you know, and you can figure it out, even if at a glance you're not able to say that's this city.
And here's the other thing about that, too. If the traditional learning method, traditional being the state sponsored in the last 100 years, it's not really traditional learning.
Not really.
You sit at the desk and you fill out your thing and you don't look at your neighbor's paper, you know, and you keep your eye right here. You don't even glance in the direction of the other. I'm doing it again. They can't
they
see
can't
my
see
hands.
Your hands. That's okay. I was motioning all about last time.
So the state way of teaching is that you can't look at your neighbor. You can't look and see what they're doing. You can't copy off of their work. But reality is just the opposite. In business, everything is working together and learning from your neighbor and figuring out. And you look at the thing and you say, well, is that St. Paul? No, that can't be St. Paul. That's because Minnesota's not in that area. It's got to be over here. That's got to be Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And so you refine. This is how we really learn things.
Mm-hmm.
You refine by rubbing up against each other, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas school, in the traditional sense, wants you to
basically memorize what they tell you, regurgitate what they tell you, and learn what they tell you.
This is
like you're a parrot.
It's memorization. It's not learning.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is why you can't have a fully formed opinion unless you can debate it with someone.
At one point, I was memorizing scripture. I felt that it was important. For anybody who's listening who's about to be offended, I'm sorry. I found out it wasn't that important. I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend anybody who wants to memorize scripture. Memorize scripture. Do that. And if you think it's important, do that. But I put way more time memorizing scripture than I should have now looking at it in retrospect.
I used to know all of Howl by Allen Ginsberg. That was important.
I could recite something like the first two chapters of Genesis or something, and those are big chapters.
Yeah.
I could recite quite a few of the Psalms. I could recite the entire Psalm. Quite a bit of... Anyway, all beside the point. I can't now.
Yeah.
I know little pieces of it, but I don't actually need to, because I have this book, and it has it all written in there, you know, and if I don't have the book, I have this machine that I can pull up 26 translations of the same thing. So memorization, not only is it unnecessary, but it's a waste of mental effort that won't stick with you,
right?
You know, now I still know the preamble to the Constitution. Of course, it's short.
Right.
But again.
And useless.
What good does it do me to memorize that? And energy am I using on those cells to keep that alive in my brain that I could be doing something else with?
Like we've talked about before, you know, you go talk to your great-grandmother. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't, but if you could, she probably wouldn't know where all 50 states were or what their capitals were or any of these things. But she could tell you when to plant tomatoes
and how to make sauerkraut
and how to can things and how to run a household. You know, now, okay, let's say you make it through public school, or let's say you go to private school and you actually do know all of these facts and you can point out Iran on the map and you are just super clever. If you are still running your household at a deficit, relying on debit, not being able to truly feed yourself with true food, what do you really know? You don't know anything useful.
Yeah.
Because you can't take care of yourself.
I don't know if I got to that, but a second ago I meant to get to the point that in the business world, I did get to the point because I said that we rub against each other constantly. So I guess I don't have to repeat that.
And that's the better way to learn is through a social environment.
Yeah.
And they try to pretend school is a social environment, but it's really not. I mean, you're in a classroom with 30 other kids, but you're still, to an extent,
you're not allowed to talk.
You're compartmentalized.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're all the same age as you. Mm-hmm. So they all know what you know.
Without going into a lot of detail, I had an issue at work last week that my knowledge of our computer system was not sufficient to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
I called up one of my colleagues in the UK, and her knowledge of the system was not enough to fix it. But the two of us talking it through were able to arrive at the right solution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's because we combined our knowledge and reasoned it out.
Mm-hmm. Iron sharpens iron. That might even be a scripture.
But you can't remember anymore.
Oh, well.
But the point being, we learn better when we're allowed to, you know, pool our thoughts together and rationalize them together.
Yeah. Which, in school, that's called cheating.
Right.
Right.
But in real life, that's called learning.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the stark difference in the two.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna quote a guy, but now I can't remember his name, and I can't remember what. It's a very famous person that supports the non-school teaching and thing. But anyway, so it's beside the point because I've already messed up the quote, and I proved that quoting quotes is unnecessary. Okay, so now that we've entirely thrashed that topic. Okay.
So I've got this news story pulled up here that the Huffington Post, this is from HuffPo, and the Huffington Post talks about it as if it's this great new miracle of science. There's a factory in Germany that takes human foreskin and grows skin to test cosmetics on. And this is great because now we don't have to. This can be taken from babies. That's a nice, gentle way of putting it there. Taken from babies. To grow patches of human skin that can be used in the place of animals to test products.
Now, so to spare animals from getting lipstick spread on them, we're going to mutilate children.
Well, let's put it even, and this is put out because there's such, you know, this because there's such an outrage of, you know,
yeah, animal testing
and anti circumcision people.
Oh,
and now they're like, well, but we have to circumcise so we can use it to test cosmetics on. Or here's a thought: maybe you don't take something that's so full of chemicals you have to test it on somebody first, and then smear it on your face.
That's just crazy talk.
What is wrong with people?
Well, now I'm going to go quote again. Here we go. Shakespeare said, in his attempt to understand women, which is really funny because the person who was playing this part on the stage would have had like a bunch of lead-based makeup on as they were saying this line. So that's the comedy of this line to me. But he says, in reference to his mother, I believe, Hamlet says that a woman, God gave the woman this face, and yet she makes for herself another. And he's referring to how, you know, makeup is put on. But to me, the funny part of that is that it would have been all male actors doing this. So the mother was played by, it's Peggy.
Hello, this is Peggy.
I should take a call one of these times.
We're not on the radio. We don't get to mess with. I guess we are on the radio. But
yeah, but you don't have live callers calling in.
It might, you know, if I set up the sound right so that we can record the call coming in and take a telemarketer. Who was that comedian that used to do that with telemarketers? Mapes? Something Mapes? Tom Mapes was a comedian that would get telemarketers on the line and then play all kinds of weird games with them. Make it sound like he had just committed a murder and he's trying to get a carpet cleaning people to come out and clean his carpet for him. Anyway, Before we went that direction, what was I talking about? Oh, I was making fun of Shakespeare because he had a man mocking a woman putting on makeup, but at the same time, the guy, he's wearing a half a ton of lead makeup when he's saying it. But anyway, okay. So that was the story on their justification for using foreskins, huh?
Yeah. Which is actually funny because almost nobody in Germany is actually circumcised. So all of those... And really, the only countries who circumcise anymore are the United States and Israel. And so all of those foreskins that are being used in Germany are all most likely coming from the United States.
This brings up a property rights issue, though.
Yeah.
If you stole the foreskin from the little child to begin with, doesn't the child have rights on that? So that shouldn't they be able to sue?
Yeah.
And make back whatever money that the pharmacy or the makeup.
Yeah. But yet I can't purchase a DVD, make a copy of it, and give it to somebody.
Yeah. But
you can forcibly take something from someone and then sell it.
Not only forcibly take, I'm sure that the parents of that child were charged for the procedure.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought, too. If you make the argument that the child belongs to the parents and the parents can make that decision, if that's the argument, then the parents should have ownership over that and you should be able to...
Yeah, and you should have to get permission from the parents.
Or at least negotiate a price.
Mm-hmm.
What's the circumcision cost? $600 and some or whatever that the hospital charges? Well, now, wait a minute. How much are you going to make off of the tissue?
Right.
You know? Yep. Well, let's talk about this. Becomes an economic issue. Okay, do we have another story we can jump on?
Mock?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, I got one. Right now, in the real food community, there's a bit of a tussle going back and forth.
A melee.
There's a melee happening.
Pandemonium.
Where these people are, the parents are going back and forth about when you should start introducing solids to babies.
Ah.
And the prevailing wisdom amongst the medical community right now is the fact that because babies are born without any iron.
Mm.
And so, no iron, get some iron in them. And as it turns out, bacteria and viruses thrive in an iron-rich environment.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So all of these fortified cereals and things are...
Well, even baby formula is fortified with iron.
Yeah.
Well, baby formula...
I know, that's a whole other topic.
I won't get involved in the baby formula. They have this...
God, I can talk about the baby formula.
They have this, yeah. And this is the real food community, too. They're like, well, we don't want to say the baby formula is bad. You know, breast milk is the best, but there are certain... No, I'm sorry, no. No. Baby formula is poison. Baby formula is...
Do we want to name a brand specifically so that we can deal with some lawsuits?
It's horrifying. And they're all pretty much the
same.
There have been infants dying from formula right now as we speak. There's a huge recall going on at Walmart because of infant formula.
I didn't catch the brand, but I saw the
story. I don't know
which
brand it is, but there's a huge recall going. And, I mean, despite the fact that it can be contaminated, which... I've never heard anybody having a huge recall on breast milk. But despite the fact that it can be contaminated, it's also full of soy.
Yeah.
And literally, you pretty much cannot find a formula on the market right now that doesn't contain soy.
Yeah, but the general public...
And powdered milk. Powdered milk, which is like, you take milk... Which is good. And then you say, how can I make this the worst possible thing ever? Oh, I know. I'll strip all the fat out of it. And then I'll powder it so that it denatures the proteins and oxidizes any leftover cholesterol. That'll be good.
That was like that milk chocolate we bought yesterday.
Oh.
We bought some glorious half-price Christmas candy. It's my favorite time of the year.
Well, no.
Day after Christmas.
Yeah.
After Halloween is much better.
Well, but we
after Valentine's,
we get this nice giant thing of hollow chocolate. Mm-hmm. And I take a bite out of it, and it's the most awful tasting thing I have ever had.
Yeah.
Really?
And so, this is from the Tootsie Roll people.
So
it was
looking,
a hollow Tootsie Roll, chocolate Tootsie Roll filled with Tootsie Rolls.
Huh.
Right. So I'm looking at the ingredients on the back, and on the front it says milk chocolate. Mm. You know, clearly, plain as day, milk chocolate.
Yeah.
You look at the back, there's no real milk or chocolate in it. It's all powdered milk. You know, powdered milk,
soy lecithin, and powdered cocoa.
Powdered cocoa.
Oh, boy.
And then corn syrup, naturally.
Yeah.
And you're wondering why it doesn't taste like real chocolate and has a strange aftertaste.
Yeah.
And you wonder why, you know, you can sit down. Well, I can't because it's terrible. I had like one piece of it and I was like, and we're done. But you can take like a Hershey bar.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not much better, but it's a step up.
Mm-hmm.
You can take a Hershey bar and you can eat it. Then you can take another Hershey bar and you can eat it. Then you can take another Hershey bar and you can eat it. And you never get tired of eating the chocolate. But you take good, dark chocolate and mm-hmm. you eat like a square of it and you're mm-hmm. like, hey, we're good. We're done.
Yeah.
I'm set.
It's very satisfying.
That's, you know, I find it so sad when people look at these, you know, overweight people and they mm-hmm. say, oh, your problem is you eat too much. No,
yeah.
Your problem is you're starving.
Yeah.
That's why your body won't ever be full. It won't ever be satisfied because yeah. you are starving yourself.
Even though you're eating, what right. you're taking in is not providing the nutrition
yeah.
and mm-hmm. and
it's you know, sending the signals.
Right. So and your body still craves food because mm-hmm. it's not getting what it needs.
I've yeah. had that happen before. I've eaten so much. I was so full. I was almost sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still like, I'm hungry.
Yeah. Yeah, because chemically, what it's the triggers that the food is causing chemical triggers in your brain to tell you, I'm starving. I need
yeah.
more food. I'm
yeah.
not getting. I'm not getting food. I'm getting, yeah.
My you know, stomach's full.
Right.
But I haven't eaten.
Yeah. yeah. So it's literally, it's kind of like, you know, if you've seen the horrible pictures of starving children in third world countries where their stomachs are all bloated and they're literally eating dirt
uh-huh. mm-hmm.
to try to overcome the urges of hunger.
The hunger pangs.
They're actually getting some nutrition out
right.
of the dirt. So that's not necessarily a, you know, but at the same time, what we're eating in America, the processed food that we're eating, is kind of like eating dirt.
Yeah.
You know? As a matter of fact, some of my garden dirt is probably more nutritious.
Yeah. At least it would have some beneficial bacteria in it.
So we're going to go back off on food, aren't we?
Why is it always food? Why is it got to be food? I think that was my fault.
Oh. Well, here's one. Here's a story that's not food related.
Well, we can't talk about it then.
Unless you want to talk about middle class tax cuts.
Oh. in this story, a clerk punches and knocks out an armed robber. This is coming from WYFF Channel 4. And, of course, they don't have it obvious as to where WYFF Channel 4 is. But they're another NBC affiliate, it looks like. And Hendersonville,
right,
North Carolina. Huh?
I was going to say right there.
Yeah. Noise.
Sorry, that was me. I'm fidgety.
Anyway, it says a clerk at a business in Western North Carolina punched a would-be robber, knocked him out cold. He had come in with a gun demanding money. 15 minutes before closing, the robber came in. So the clerk knocks him out and evidently bloodied him in the process.
Let me guess, the clerk was arrested?
Well, haven't got that far. I should have read it ahead of time, huh? Punched him out, grabbed the man's weapon, realized it was only a pellet gun. You know, that's the old saying, if you're gonna rob somebody.
Hey, pellet guns hurt.
Oh, my. Dragged him over to the desk and held him down with one hand while dialing 911. He begged me to let him go, this person says. Oh, yeah, and so, gave him a roll of paper towels and made him clean up his own blood. It's not bad enough. It's not bad enough to humiliate the guy, dominate him, beat him up, take his pistol away, and look at see the picture of the poor guy with his nose
aww.
All busted up.
Hey, I say hooray for the store clerk.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, man. clearly this guy needs some lessons on how to rob. That's okay. He'll learn that in jail. He'll come out a much more efficient robber.
I'm sure he will. He'll learn a lot of skills in there.
Oh, man.
Have you heard this story about, and I'm going to butcher the name, a little kid, I'm going to butcher the name. Where is it? Let me find it. This is a kid, Jacob Styler. I'm sorry, I'm butchering the name. Basically, he is 9 years old. He's a kid. He was diagnosed with cancer, basically, Ewing sarcoma.
Hmm.
And they went through all of the cancer treatment, chemotherapy, and, well, the kid got an all clear. He went through chemotherapy, got an all clear, and the doctors said, they were recommended that he do another round of chemotherapy just to make sure, mm-hmm. and the parents were like, these are really terrible drugs, mm-hmm. and you've already said that he's all clear, we're not going to put him through another round of chemotherapy.
Yeah.
And they basically
took him away from his parents.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Social worker came in, and I didn't get the last one.
So in the last 5 minutes of the podcast, you bring this up, and so I'm going to be ranting about this for the next 5 hours. And you guys are going to leave,
yeah.
So I'm going to be here by myself ranting to the dog for the next 5 hours.
So at the end of it, they decline more chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
They come home, and then CPS knocks on their door, and
Child Protective Services for those in free countries.
They were trying to take him away. Now, Child Protective Service, they went through all of this, they talked about all of this, they got a doctor, mm-hmm. or they got a lawyer, and Child Protective Services was about ready to drop the case, and the Department of Human Services refiled it, and basically they had to go through, hire a private attorney.
Probably a tremendous cost.
The court never appointed the kid a lawyer. Yeah.
Which is standard in that type of case. Mm-hmm. The court should appoint a guardian ad litem.
Yep. Yeah. And they never did. Finally, they contacted this lawyer who's an advocate for homeschoolers and parental rights.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally, through all of this, this went on for months, they finally got it out on the internet. And the internet
got
was
support.
Able to just flood.
Yeah.
With petitions and with everything, and they end up dropping all of the cases against them.
The internet
is
becoming...
What an ordeal for parents to go
yeah,
through.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, you're sitting here, your kid's got cancer.
Yeah.
And...
Well, that's not bad enough.
Right. Like, you're not just racking your brain.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the choice of, okay, you've got the all clear. They're not able to find any more tumors on him. There's no masses. Mm-hmm. He looks like he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the choice of putting him through 12 more rounds of chemotherapy, which is like 24 weeks.
Yeah, and anybody who's ever been close to somebody who's gone through that knows how horrific that is. Yeah.
You're pumping your veins full of deadly poison.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not pleasant to go through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then to do that with a kid on top of that, your own kid.
So you've got a child who's been medically cleared. The doctor says, well, I want to prescribe, you know, a lot more pain and discomfort just to be safe.
Yeah.
And you decline, and you're a bad parent.
Yeah.
When the fact of the matter is, the doctor's only prescribing this so that his malpractice insurance doesn't go up.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the only... He doesn't care. Yeah. All he cares about is he doesn't want to get sued.
And he's willing to then let the Child Protective Services know, which will act as the enforcers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
basically to cover himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it takes a huge outcry from the internet to make this go away.
Yeah.
And what about the parents who just give in?
Hmm. Which most do. Under that kind of situation, most are just going to fold.
Yep.
And you know, how many go through the problems of having their kids taken away unjustly, and they go through all the steps that you're supposed to defend themselves mm-hmm. legally, and they still fail mm-hmm. because there's this huge bureaucratic...
can't afford to fight it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I make an all right living, but we still, for the most part, live paycheck to paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
If something like that happened,
yeah,
there's
it'd
no
be
way
devastating.
We could afford lawyers to, yeah. to combat
the interesting
that.
Thing is, yep. I know a couple people who have had kids that had cancer,
mm-hmm.
and every single person that I talk to that has a kid that had cancer dealt with Child Protective Services in some way.
Wow.
And how terrible is that?
Boy. To have to deal with all the headaches of...
And you're already going through your mind, did I do something that makes this happen?
Yeah.
You know, you already... Your mind is right there. Yeah. And
well,
then
unfortunately,
to have somebody else come in and go, well, I need to look at the state of your house and make sure you didn't cause this.
Yeah. So we're really going to end this podcast on a super negative note.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But the positive thing is at least the internet was able to come in.
And it really is becoming a powerful tool to shine light on, things
it
like that.
It makes me wonder what people did 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
You know,
these things went unnoticed, and I'm sure they were happening then.
Oh, yeah. We probably don't have time for it, but just a quick throw out. This is, you know, people have so much power.
Mm-hmm.
Bolivia,
Elva
McDonald's in Bolivia got kicked out.
Because
Not because people made a huge fuss. People just didn't go to them.
Yeah.
They just refused
to
go there.
Kind of like Freddy Krueger. They ignored him and they went away.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay, we don't have time to go in that direction. Folks, thanks a lot for listening to BadQuaker.com podcast. Be sure and check back with us and listen to our podcast all the time. Download it. Listen to it over and over until you believe exactly like we believe. Do it now.